now begin the third and final installment of the story of the Holy Baal Shem Tov, the story which we're calling Saved from a Fate Worse Than Death, taken from Sefer HaZichronis, from the Friedrich Lubavitcher Rebbe, Nishmose Yaden. You will recall that there was a Jew named Yankov Karpel who started off as a total Amoretz, and through a Tzadik Nister, through a disciple of the Baal Shem Tov, who taught him, and then later taught other members of the Jewish community of Sharye, Reb Hersh Leib was the individual's name, these people began to become learned, and Yankov Karpel himself became Boki, knew Chumash by heart, as well as Tilim and Pirkei Avos. He had begun without even knowing the Olive Beis. And Yankov Karpel was successful not only spiritually, but materially as well. He was doing quite well. He still was not blessed with children. Most of his money he would give away for tzedakah. And this Yankov Karpel had a friend, Gershon Yitzchok, whose fate turned on him, owed the old landlord a lot of money. The old landlord took his son David for a mashkin, and David was handed over to the priest. It was with great difficulty that Gershon Yitzchok finally got the money through Yankov Karpel, who literally sold his own house and borrowed money in order for Gershon Yitzchok to be able to pay the debt and the accumulated interest. And this was done most importantly in order that David be returned from the priest so that the poor boy not be forced to convert. And last week we concluded with Gershon Yitzchok hurrying to the landlord to repay his debt. He handed over the money and demanded that his son be brought to him. "He is not on my property," the landlord answered indifferently. "He is in the hands of the priest, and it is no longer any concern of mine." And now the tale continues. Gershon Yitzchok tore out his hair in frenzied despair and began shouting and weeping. The landlord gave a signal, and all his bullies appeared and began beating the poor man. When Gershon Yitzchok finally escaped the blows, he was black and blue all over his body and full of sores. He went home broken-hearted and broke the news to his wife and to his guest Yankov Karpel, who had accompanied him on the journey back from Sharye to see how things would turn out. Yankov Karpel was very indignant at this injustice and hurried to the young landlord, who was better than his father, who was so vicious, and demanded of the young landlord, "What kind of treatment is this? I have raised the entire sum that Gershon Yitzchok owed your father, and he has paid back his debt to the last groschen, even before the deadline. What right did your father have in taking the boy and leaving him in the custody of the priest? And what kind of treatment does the boy get there? He is forced to eat forbidden foods. He is constantly beaten. Why, this very minute, he was wallowing with the pigs. The priest had thrown him into the pigsty. Is this justice, I ask? I insist you do something about it immediately." The young landlord was forced to admit that Yankov Karpel was justified in his anger. Yankov Karpel, on his part, lost no time and went to the other Gentiles that he knew through his dealings with them and begged that they too bring pressure upon the priest to release the boy. They were all sympathetic to the cause, for they knew Gershon Yitzchok to be an honest and decent man, and they knew that this was tearing and chugging at the heart of Gershon Yitzchok and his fine wife, and that the action was totally unwarranted. At last, the priest saw that he had no choice but to relinquish his rights and return the boy. It was a pitiful sight to see David returning home, all bruised and beaten. When David had regained his strength and had recovered from the ordeal, Yaakov Karpel took the boy back with him to Sharia, where he finally sent him on to a yeshiva in Berlisov. Yaakov Karpel had incurred heavy debts because of his pidyon shvuyim of redeeming the captives, and was forced to sell his home and most of his belongings, as previously mentioned, but he had gladly done so, for he had been the worthy instrument in freeing a Jewish soul from forced conversion. Later on, even when Yaakov Karpel became seriously ill, much of it due to his now unfortunate circumstances, he refused to complain about his lot. Yaakov Karpel was given the additional name Chaim as an aid for long life, and prayers were said that he recover from his serious illness. But he and his wife suffered in silence and did not question the ways of God. At that time, a group of strangers drifted into Sharia, but no one connected them with Reb Hirsch Leib. No one realized that the strangers, as well as Reb Hirsch Leib, were really tzaddikim nestorim, hidden saintly individuals. The newcomers also refused to eat outside of the Beis HaMedrash and gently declined all invitations. They too befriended the common folk and told them stories of tzaddikim or explained in simple language various verses of the Torah. These tzaddikim nestorim, these hidden righteous individuals, were the disciples of the holy Baal Shem Tov, and each one had a specific mission to fulfill. They had no need to rely upon anyone, for they were supplied with their expenses from a fund set aside for the use of the tzaddikim nestorim on their travels. The city of Sharia became a focal point for their activities. At the age of 18, Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov was already an important figure in the circle of Nestorim. He had many new ideas and innovations to improve the important work of his companions, which he passed on to Rab Mordechai, a key figure in the group of Nestorim. Eventually, these ideas reached the ears of their master, Reb Odom Baal Shem, who was the leader of the entire movement. He told Reb Mordechai to bring Reb Kohos and Reb Yisrael to him that they might present their ideas for an even more efficient program at a meeting that was to be held of all the Nestorim, which would convene in the near future. Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov's chief aim was to bring Torah to the secluded parts of the country, which were desolate of Yiddishkeit, but not of Jews. The Baal Shem Tov said that the Nestorim must go to the most remote corners to serve as melamdim, to teach the fundamentals of Yiddishkeit to young and old alike. But such a project demanded enormous sums of money. Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov chose the two Nestorim, Rabbi Aaron David, the carpenter of Brod, and Rabbi Shlomo Chaim, the tailor of Lemberg, for this challenging task. The two work tirelessly and devotedly, and success shone upon them, and they were successful in their fundraising. Reb Kohos was one of the three Nestorim whom Reb Odom Rael Shem had chosen to assign the individual tasks of the bold master plan. Reb Kohos now came to Sharya upon a special mission. He first went to Reb Hersh Leib and discussed the matter with him. "I have been sent on behalf of an exceptional man who lives here in this city, Yankov Karpel." Reb Hersh Leib listened with mounting interest, for this concerned none other than his star pupil. "This man," Reb Kohos said, "once a simple person, has attained spiritual heights and has made a favorable impression in heaven. He has fulfilled one mitzvah in a truly outstanding manner. Yankov Karpel and his wife Brocha have incurred tremendous debts by saving a Jewish soul and helping a family in desperate condition. But Sutton appeared before the heavenly court and demanded an opportunity to put the man to a test. The matter was placed in his hands, and Sutton inflicted Yankov Karpel with a severe illness. But the righteous man withstood the trial and refused to complain about his circumstances. The Baal Shem Tov has divulged to us that this pious couple, which up until now is childless, is to be blessed with a son and with much wealth." Reb Hersh Leib was stunned. He had no idea that Yankov Karpel had undergone financial troubles for having saved a Jewish soul. He listened intently as Reb Kohos continued, "I have been entrusted with 150 gulden to give him. The problem is how to get him to take it. As I understand his character, he will never agree to accept charity or even a loan. Here is the money. I have fulfilled my mission already. It is up to you now, who knows him far better than I, to come up with a scheme to make him accept this 150 gulden." The Hersh Leib immediately came up with a good idea. He took Reb Kohos with him and hurried to Yankov Karpel's house. There, he explained that Reb Kohos was a man traveling through their city. He had a large sum of money that he wished to entrust to a reliable man to be used for loans to needy people, for he was embarking on a long journey and did not wish to be burdened with carrying the money along with him during the whole time of his journey. At first, Yankov Karpel shied away from such responsibility, but the two men insisted that the money be left in his care. Yankov Karpel finally gave in and accepted the money. Now, Reb Kohos was free to leave the city. Yankov Karpel took the money that was given for his use, paid off his debts, and also invested in some merchandise. He then sallied forth to the villages that he used to frequent in the past, and his luck was favorable from the very outset. Not only that, but Yankov Karpel soon realized that he was to become a father. At first, he and his wife were apprehensive for the welfare of the child and the mother, since Yankov was then 63 years old, and his wife Brocha was already 57. But their joy was unbounded when in due time a healthy son was born to them. They named the boy Yosef Yitzchok after Brocha's father. This is the same Yosef Yitzchok who later married Dvorah Leah, the sister of Rav Baruch, who was the father of the Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya, v'Shulchan Aruch. The boy had come into the world by the blessing of the Baal Shem Tov. Reb Hirsch Leib stayed in Sharya for many years. He continued his work of teaching the simple people Torah, and no one was ever aware that he was actually a Nister performing a mission. When he had fulfilled his job faithfully, he was told to leave Sharya and undertake a new project. Before he left the city, he paid his favorite pupil, Yankov Karpel, a final visit. He now disclosed to Yankov Karpel, by now a Talmud Chacham and a person of vast wealth, the origin of the loan that had made him into such a prosperous man. Yankov Karpel had never heard of the Nistorim, nor of the Baal Shem Tov, and expressed a strong desire to accompany his teacher on his travels. He listened with an open mouth as Reb Hirsch Leib explained the new philosophy that the Nistorim were disseminating, and Yankov Karpel was very impressed. When he heard that the loan he had received had originally come from the fund that supported the Nistorim in their vital work, he immediately returned that amount and multiplied it many, many times over. Yankov Karpel and Reb Hirsch Leib wandered together for many months, and when Yankov Karpel returned to Sharya, he had many experiences to relate. He told of all the Nistorim that he had encountered, and of their wondrous ways. He also told of the Baal Shem Tov, the leader of Hasidus, whom he had visited together with Reb Hirsch Leib, his Rebbe. Yankov Karpel decided to educate his son, who had been born to him through the blessing of the Baal Shem Tovs, the ways of Hasidus. The boy was exceptionally bright. At the age of 3, he could read and recite all the brochas. By the age of 5, he knew Tanakh and Mishnayos thoroughly. It was obvious that the boy was a genius. Yankov Karpel chose one of the travelers who stopped over in Sharya as a teacher for his son. These wayfarers, who were in fact tzaddikim nestorim, hidden tzaddikim, did not hide their identity from him anymore, for Yankov Karpel had become acquainted with the nestorim on his travels with Reb Hirsch Leib. Rabbi Yankov Karpel continued his benevolent concern for David as well, the son of Gershon Yitzchok, whom he had redeemed and saved from forced conversion. He sent the boy to study in yeshiva, and when he had matured, married him off to his brother's daughter. During these years, Rabbi Yankov Karpel's son studied with his Nister teacher. After 6 years of study, the Baal Shem Tov sent word suggesting the Yeshiva of Minsk, a flourishing Torah city, for the boy's further studies. The Yankov Karpel gratefully accepted the advice, and the boy was sent to the Yeshiva in Minsk. There he quickly distinguished himself with his exceptional Torah wisdom, and became known as the Ilui of Sharya, the prodigy of Sharya. By now, Yankov Karpel was an old man. He felt that the time had come to retire from his business pursuits. He took stock of all his possessions and divided his business among his brothers and sisters' children, for whom he had cared all these years with the devotion of a parent. Together with his wife, he moved to Minsk to be near his only son, who was the pride and joy of the yeshiva, as well, of course, as the pride and joy of Yankov Karpel and Brocha. In Minsk, The Yankov Karpel kept up his friendly relations with the circle of Tzaddikim Nestorim, and they frequented his house. It shortly became a meeting place for them, and Yankov Karpel aided them generously in their important work. While his son Yosef Yitzchok was still in the yeshiva, he decided to travel to the Baal Shem Tov in Tlost to consult with him personally concerning his wealth. All the while, he had been donating generously to the Baal Shem Tov. He now wished to know how he was to apportion his vast wealth before he died. The Baal Shem Tov advised him to give one-tenth of it to his son Yosef Yitzchok and to distribute the other nine parts to charity. Yankov Karpel did not hesitate a moment in fulfilling the Rebbe's instructions. With an open hand, he doled out generous sums to many needy people and contributed most liberally to the coffers of the Tzaddikim Nestorim. The Baal Shem Tov exhibited a personal concern for the education of Yosef Yitzchok, whose fame by now had spread far and wide. He wrote a letter to Rav Moshe Nosson, head of the Nestorim in Minsk, specifying what the boy was to study and asking him to supervise Yosef Yitzchok's study. The Baal Shem Tov also specified that the boy was to go to the yeshiva in Smagon after he had completed 2 years of study in Minsk. There, he was to pursue his studies with the young Nochum Meir, son of one of the Nestorim in this Hasidic center. All these instructions were fulfilled to the letter. When Yosef Yitzchok returned from his stay in Smargon, he brought back with him a certificate of rabbinical ordination, a smicha, in which he was titled Meireinu Rabbi Yosef Yitzchok Ha'ilui Misharye, our teacher Rabbi Yosef Yitzchok, the prodigy of Sharye. Rabbi Yankov Karpel died soon after. His good wife Brocha conveyed a sum of 2,300 rubles to the coffers of the Nestorim. This constituted the inheritance which was to provide for her son's vital needs in the future years. She specified, however, that he was not to go into trade, but rather to dedicate himself to the study of Torah for the rest of his days, which he indeed did.